talking about Rodgers that much? Is this something that I've been doing to the point?
In Chicago, and he's doing this. I mean, that is what Bobby the Brain Heenan would call a ham and egger move.
What the heck's going on in Champaign, Illinois with Brett Bielema? They have a real shot to get to...
Frazier's got it! And the Big Ten Championship is in Champaign! They rush the floor!
And now, broadcasting live and local, from the 98.9 The Game Studios in Effingham, Illinois, it's The Starting Lineup with Travis Sparks.
We're going to save the for tomorrow. We need Eric here. Excuse me.
And Eric Fry. It's The Starting Lineup on 98.9 The Game.
Happening out there. Welcome in to the starting lineup here on this Thursday edition. Thursday. Throwback Thursday. Also the second day of May. Welcome into the starting lineup. We're here on the air on ESPN Radio until the noon hour. And it's Travis Sparks, Eric Fry hanging out with you for the next hour. Coming up here on today's program, got some good things to hit up on. We got all the playoff action from last night, the two games that happened there. One series came to a close and one on the brink. And we'll take a look at the schedule for tonight, see if two series can come to a close, finally close the deal at home, potentially, or one's on the road, but could be a de facto home game. But
not if some people have something to say about it.
Yeah, Philadelphia being a little afraid.
A little snippy.
Yeah.
A little snooty.
Buying up tickets. Someone is self-conscious about themselves, so we'll hit up on that, as well as we'll check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs as well, as the series came to a close there last night. And we'll hit up on some local sports from yesterday, all the baseball and softball action. Softball and TC tournament of the Consolation Championship third place game and championship game is set for tomorrow, and we'll take a look at how those teams got there on yesterday's scoreboard. Some interesting scores there at Evergreen Park yesterday. We'll also be taking a look at some baseball and softball brackets, as well as those came out. The seeds came out the other day. I didn't have a lot of time to talk about it yesterday, but then the seeds dropped yesterday, or the brackets dropped yesterday. So at least for 1A and a 2A. 3A will have to wait another week to see those seeds and a bracket. So we'll take a look at those brackets and where our local teams stand there in 1 and 2A. And we'll also be hitting up on some Major League Baseball as well, all the action that happened there yesterday. And all the action of that is on a tap for tonight. St. Louis Cardinals are off as they make the trip from Motown back to St. Louis to welcome the White Sox over the weekend. But we'll save that conversation for tomorrow. At least the White Sox conversation.
We may bring it up, just one thing we may bring up a little bit later on. And in the pod, Travis, we're going to talk some football.
Some football?
Yeah.
College football?
No,
NFL?
NFL football.
High school football?
NFL football. It's never too early to talk NFL football.
ESPN, it never stops.
Never stops, that's right. And
is it about the Cowboys?
It is not.
Well, then, are we really an ESPN station, then?
Well, we are one in Illinois.
We don't talk about the Cowboys enough.
Well, if they were good, we would. But
yeah, you talk about them if they're bad or good.
I refuse to talk about bad teams.
We talk about the Bears a lot.
This actually has to do with a former Bear.
All right, so we'll get to some football. in the podcast, and also might take a peek at more baseball. I did take a peek at the standings after 1 month of the season. Who's doing good, who's doing bad, and who's trending in the right direction, and who's not so good at the first month of the season. So we'll be hitting up on that. We'll get to that end of the podcast and see whatever else we can find ourselves into today. So we got a good show lined up for you, so we need to get it started, and we need to get it jump started with our first segment. It's called First Things First.
Before we get into the show, first things first.
And we're starting off in the NBA from last night. One series has come to a close. Miami, they got one game, but unfortunately for them and Heat fans, that's all they could get as the Celtics won big time last night, 118-84, the final eliminating of the Heat, and Boston getting a little bit of revenge last year as Miami won game seven at this place, TD Garden. But Boston gets revenge. I know Miami is a little shorthanded, but Celtics won the series easily in five games, and they needed that. Miami needed that historic performance, the three-pointers, just to win that one game. And so the Heat bounced from the playoffs, Boston moving on after last night.
Yeah, it took one game longer than we thought it was going to, but, I mean, this was can we say, Travis, was this just a formality?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, it was, and especially the way they won it, convincing fashion.
They should have saved some of those threes that they had in their one game that they won.
Yeah.
3 of 29 from beyond the arc last night.
Another blowout win for the Celtics in a season where they have done that quite a bit, including the regular season playoff. Celtics have won 11 games by 30-plus points this season. That's tied with the 86-87 Lakers for the most in a season in NBA history.
Wow.
And outside of that game, too, where the Heat made 23 threes, the Celtics became the first team to score 100-plus points while allowing fewer than 90 points in three straight games in NBA postseason history.
Wow.
So, and in the four wins this series, Travis, for the Celtics, they trailed for a total of 56 seconds.
Wow.
That is so impressive.
Nice. So. Jaylen Brown and Derek White both led the way for the Celtics. They both scored 25 points last night. For Miami, Bam Adebayo had a 23. Tyler Hero had a 15. Some of the top performers there for Miami. It's the first time that they've exited the playoffs prior to the conference finals since 2021. So he'd always seemed to go very far, but not this year. Not to be.
Yep.
And, of course, Boston was out without a Porzingis, but didn't really seem to affect him that much. And he's going to be out for a little bit. So we'll see how that affects Boston going forward. They'll take on the winner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and Orlando Magic series when that series finally wraps up. Those two teams will match up on Friday night in Game 6.
The series the NBA wants you to forget about.
I mean, basically, it's been relegated to NBA TV for so long, and I don't think a lot of people are going to give a lot of chance whoever comes out of that against the Celtics with or without Porzingis.
Right.
So,
right.
Good luck to you.
Yep.
But it's off to vacation for Miami. I mean, where do you go on vacation when you're in Miami? You already live in such a beautiful place in South Beach. But that's the struggle that you live in there. They take the good with the bad down there. There's some positives to live in Florida. Boston will await the winner of that Cavs and Magic series winner. And in game five with the series tied at two, it was the Mavericks pulling ahead, and they have the advantage. They won 123-93 there last night. Three rebounds shy for Luka for a triple-double, but 35 points, 10 assists. As I know, he's banged up, so are the Clippers, I know, but at least Luka powering through. And he said before the game that he wasn't feeling too well, and if this was just a regular season game, he wouldn't have played this. But obviously in the postseason, he's good to go. But Dallas won pretty easily last night.
And what's so funny about this, Travis, is this is now Luka's fourth career 35-point 10-assist game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have come against the Clippers.
Wow.
He's the Clippers in the playoffs. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Luka. Luka.
That's a good nickname for
him. His 13th 35-point game in the playoffs. That ties him with Kobe Bryant for the third most by a player age 25 or younger in postseason history.
Nice. So,
9-10 from the field on layups and floaters. So doing what he needed to do. Easy win. Clippers shot below 50% on field goal attempts inside 5 foot of the basket. That's not good.
It was the worst margin of defeat in the Clippers playoff history.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas can win their first playoff series victory since 2022.
Yep.
And it's only its third since winning it all with Dirk and the crew in 2011 when they beat the Heat.
Yeah, and you look back at game four, Travis. Paul George and James Harden combined for 66 points, 23 of 36 from the field, 11 of 15 from three. Last night, they combined for 22 points, 6 of 25 from the field, and 3 of 13 from three. Not good.
No?
Not good. Harden was 2 of 12 from the field, and in the second half, finished with 2 points. No assists and 3 turnovers. That's right. In the second half, Travis, he had more turnovers than points.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not what a
recipe
want from one of
for
your guys.
Success. Yeah.
Yep. So, not a good night for James Harden and Paul George. They'll try and turn it around.
Russell Westbrook struggled too.
Oh, yeah, 2 of 11 for Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 17.1% in his last four games, going 6 of 35, Travis. At some point, stop shooting.
Nah, just keep shooting, man. Shooter, shoot. Score, score.
This postseason, Westbrook has shot 4 of 12 on jumpers. That is the worst field goal percentage on jumpers in the 2024 playoffs among 75 players with 20-plus attempts.
Wow.
So, yeah. The Clippers, not good. They've shot 29% on three-pointers on losses, and in the wins, they've shot 55%. So as long as the Mavericks close out on them, force tough shots, it's going to be a win.
Game 6 will be in Dallas tomorrow, and if necessary, Game 7 would be on a Sunday back in Los Angeles. But Mavericks hoping that they finish them off there in 6 games there as the Thunder await them as their next opponent in the next round.
But we've been here before, Travis. In 2021, the Clippers trailed 3-2 against the Mavericks before coming back and winning Game 6 and 7. So. Of course, those final two games of that series, they had Kawhi Leonard, who averaged 36 points in those final two games.
Right.
Kawhi not here.
Yeah, not here for this one.
Nope. So.
See if his status changes. Just see here for game 5. Don't know about anything else for game 6. So we'll have to wait to see about that tomorrow. But we do have two series on tap for it this evening, and when both series could close to an end. Indy couldn't close it out on the road against Milwaukee the other night, but they'll try their luck back at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Indy favored by 8.5 points with the Bucks, so that means that they could be without some services of some players there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both are working to try and make a return for Game 6 tonight, but still unclear if both will be able to play, according to Woj. And that was just that just dropped 13 minutes ago, so when we just started the show. So Giannis and Dame questionable with their injuries for Game 6 tonight, so that's why the line is so skewed towards the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
By the Bucks, Bobby Portis Jr. and crew. They won game 5.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that had to do with being at home, Travis.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I don't know back in Indy.
Yeah, I would expect Indy to play a lot better.
Especially if Caitlin Clark's in the house. I mean, you know, that's just a recipe for a win.
It's just good luck.
She is. I mean.
So we'll see if Indy can get it done. Hopefully they can. And then the Knicks and the 76ers, game 6 with the Knicks. They could taste it the other night, but Philadelphia pulled it out. Tyrese Maxey helped them pull it out and they'll try to do it in Philly again to force a game seven. Philadelphia favored by 2.5 points in that one. So, like I mentioned, though, the Sixers owner buying up some tickets for the next game to try to block them from.
This, Travis, might be one of the recently best rivalries in basketball. It's becoming that.
Philadelphia owners and Philadelphia players against Philadelphia fans?
No, I was going to say the 76ers and the Knicks. Just in general.
Why is that?
There's just something about it that, you know, I heard Greeny earlier calling it a Shakespearean tragedy. This series, and it kind of is. I mean, both teams are banged up, have nothing left. I mean, and putting in game times that you are unbelievable as far as how much they played last game out.
Yeah. Maxi and Embiid played a whole lot.
Maxi put in 52 minutes, 48 for Embiid. Harris had 49. On the New York side, they only went seven deep, Travis.
Yeah.
Hart had 53 minutes. Anobi had 50. Brunson, 51. And it's just the fact of the core of that Knicks team. Three of them are Villanova players in Philly. Like,
yeah.
There's always kind of been that New York-Philly thing. It just was always below the surface because the Mets and the Phillies are never good at the same time. The Eagles and Giants, there's not really much there because, again, they're never both good at the same time. But I think Philly always looks at itself as a little brother to New York.
Oh, sure.
So I think we're kind of seeing that. I just wish this would have been a conference finals matchup with what we've seen.
It's definitely been entertaining.
It has. So,
for sure.
But I think it ends tonight.
Ends tonight.
Yep.
Don't forget about DiVincenzo.
Yep.
Who also played for Villanova.
I will say, Travis, whoever wins this game is going to probably win the series.
Well, yes, you would be pretty accurate on that. With if the Knicks win tonight, they win the whole thing.
Obviously. But I'm saying if Philly wins tonight, I think they win the series.
Yeah, I think if the 76ers win tonight, the Knicks are in trouble, for sure. They should be nervous for Game 7,
yep.
I think. So we'll see if Knickerbockers can close out. A Game 7 would be on a Saturday. They're in a prime time on TNT for that series. But who knows? Series could come to a close tonight. So... we'll see what happens there, and we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. Hopefully another entertaining game between Philly and New York. But right now, we got to step away and hit up on some local sports from yesterday. ESF for the schedule today on the baseball and softball side of things. Coming up next here on the Starting Lineup.
The Starting Lineup from 98.9 The Game Studios. We'll be right back.
This is your Effingham County Sheriff Paul Coons, reminding you that as the weather turns warmer, more children will be out near the streets playing and being outside. As you drive through our neighborhoods in the city and our small towns, remember to always be watchful for running children and children at play in their yards. It only takes a split second for a child to dart out between parked cars or chase a ball into the street. Let's look out for one another and have a safe, enjoyable spring and summer.
Show her how much she means to you this Mother's Day. Join the Mother's Day extravaganza and stop by our participating sponsors to win over $300 in prizes be given away just in time for Mother's Day. Stop by Rouse Jewelry, John Boo's Factory Showman Allen, Harlow Landscaping, Jordan Mahan, Country Financial, Barlow Walk and Security, The Country Closet. One qualifier will be chosen from each location, and one winner will be announced Wednesday, May 8th. Stop by all locations to increase your chances of winning. Brought to you by Rouse Jewelry, John Boo's Factory Showman Outlet, Harlow Landscaping, Jordan Mahan, Country Financial, Barlow Lock and Security, The Country Closet, and Cromwell Media Group in Effingham.
At Lowe's, save big every day when you buy in bulk. Save 10% on your choice of any three or more A.O. Smith water heaters. Plus, get an extra 5% off every day on eligible purchases when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Get low prices on the materials you need today, because Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. 5% off are subject to credit approval. Exclusions and terms apply. See store at Lowe's.com/credit for details. U.S. only.
Hey, are you having a hard time dealing with high-interest credit card debt? It's normal, and a SoFi personal loan could help you save thousands by consolidating your DEBT to one low fixed monthly payment. You could get $5,000 to $100,000 as soon as the same day you sign, with no fees required. It only takes 60 seconds to view your rate, and it won't affect your credit score. View your rate at SoFi.com/paid off. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions at SoFi.com/paid off. NMLS 696891.
And now.
Mm-hmm. But that is when ESPN News should be utilized.
Yeah.
Not cornhole.
The starting lineup.
It's pretty awesome.
Sorry, bags.
Yeah, which is it? Is it bags or cornhole?
Playing.
I think, yeah, I always go bags. I always say that.
On 98.9 The Game.
Welcome back in to the starting lineup here on 98.9 The Game. Let's take a look at some local sports that happened yesterday on the baseball and softball diamonds. First, let's take a look at some high school baseball right here at the top of the page from yesterday. It was St. Anthony victorious over Neoga 11-1, and this only took 5 innings to complete. St. Anthony picked up a 4th spot on the top of the first and never looked back. Picked up runs in the 2nd, 3rd, and 5th innings there. 11 runs on 7 hits. Brock Fierde pacing the attack, home run and 3 RBIs. And Link also was 3-for-3 at the plate and 3 RBIs there as well. And Link picked up the win on the mound, going all 5 innings there that he could. And 3 hits allowed and 1 strikeout for St. Anthony there in the dub. It was CHBC winning against Brownstown St. Elmo 4-3, as it was CHBC picking up a run on the bottom of the first, but Brownstown took the lead, and they also went up 3-1 there in the third, but then CHBC with a comeback to tie things up there in the bottom half of that frame, and then go ahead and run in the bottom of the fifth inning there, as both teams tallied 6 hits and 4 errors as well, but it was CHBC with the win there. Radloff was the only credited RBI for CHBC. It was 1-for-3, and Radloff also picked up the win on the mound as well, going 6 innings, allowing 3 runs, 6 hits, 6 strikeouts, and a couple of walks there. Adam Atwood takes the loss in relief for Brownstown, going a couple innings, 2 2/3 innings to be exact, only letting up 1 run and 1 hit and 4 strikeouts. But it was CHBC with the win. Salem over South Central 3-1, and North Clay with a victory over Nashville 6-5. Decatur St. Therese over Cumberland 10-9. Arcola winning over Blue Ridge 23-0. Oka Valley winning against Leroy 13-3. Argenta shutting out Clinton 2-0. Mount Carmel winning against Paris 6-1, and Olney over Robinson 5-4. Monticello 10-0 over Tuscola. Warrensburg-Latham 7-0 winner against Macon Meridian, and Shelbyville 4-3 against Central A&M. Piasol over Carlinville 10-0, and Gillespie winning against Dupo 13-1 was the final in that one. Over in the National Trail Conference tournament there at Evergreen Park, we had double barrel action on both of these games. And it was St. Anthony victorious against Altamont 6-2 in this one. I was able to hop over to Evergreen and take in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Sidney Keibler with the win on the mound or in the circle for St. Anthony. And Lemke takes the loss there for Altamont. Lemke also hit a home run and had an RBI in the third inning there, as it just a state affair there for Lemke. And a big part of the game that's not a part of the box score there yesterday was, I believe it was in the fourth or fifth inning there for Altamont. The bases were juiced as Lemke was back up at the plate, and they basically, same thing, worked around her, didn't give her anything to hit, and that set up Sophia Piercy with the bases loaded, and the scoreboard read that it was a 3-2 count, and the a ball came in there and the catcher dropped it for St. Anthony. And so Piercy started to take her base and the runner from third started to walk home. And so dropped third ball or fourth ball. And it was actually a 2-2 count at the time. So a little bit of confusion there. So that ended the, it was with two outs too.
Of course.
So that ended the inning, and that was kind of demoralizing there for Altamont, and St. Anthony hopped on and took advantage of that there as they scored a run in the bottom half of those fourth and fifth innings and then picked up two more, broke it open there in the sixth inning to come away with the victory there. But in both games, really, Altamont's gave them good games against St. A, but picking up the W there for the Bulldogs. Hatton drove in a run, and Rios was credited with a couple RBIs as well there for the Bulldogs. Over on the other diamond at the same exact time, it caused some chaos as it was Dietrich winning against North Clay 18-204. And the foul balls sometimes went over on the other diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Had to go heads up on that. I thought that was a little crazy. And also in the other semifinal game, it was Windsor Sioux Straws with the victory over South Central 11-201. As it was Windsor putting up a three spot in the second inning, and then four more in the fourth, and then four more in the sixth. South Central was only able to scratch across three hits in that one. Samantha Hayes picking up the W in the circle for the Hatchets. Kendra Hayes also driving in a couple runs. Freeze drove in a run as well to pace the Hatchet attack there. So well, Windsor was the three seed, so they'll advance to the championship game to take on St. Anthony on a Friday night there. Altamont will slide into the third place game, and that'll be against South Central and Dietrich and St. Elmo, who St. Elmo was victorious over in Neoga. Should have stuck around for that one. 13-11. Crooked numbers all over the box score.
Yes.
There. And it was St. Elmo and Neoga both picking up runs in the bottom of the top of the first and bottom of the first. Neoga put up runs in the first, second, third inning. St. Elmo had five in the top of the third, two in the fourth, one in the fifth. Neoga with an explosion of six runs in the bottom of the sixth. And then St. Elmo coming back with a run on the top of the seventh to tie things up, and that forced extra innings. And St. Elmo put up a three spot in the top of the eighth inning, and St. Elmo ended up winning at 13-11. Yoga did have a run there on the bottom of the eighth, but couldn't come all the way back there. Wright picked up the win in relief for St. Elmo, and Ireland was 4-for-5 at the dish and had three RBIs to pace the attack for SEB, and Keptic the loss for Neoga in relief there as she went five innings, giving up seven hits, eight runs, seven of them were earned, and eight walks, four strikeouts. So that sets up Dietrich and St. Elmo in the consolation and championship for the NTC tournament as it concludes there on Friday. It was FEM winning against a doubleheader against Taylorville, and FEM won game one 9-0 and only took six, or actually it went all seven innings. Taylorville was only able to scratch across two hits against Armstrong as she went the distance, seven innings of work, couple walks and a 10 of Ks for her. Donaldson had a couple RBIs to pace the Hearts attack. And then in game two, it was FEM winning against Taylorville 13-1. And this one was completed in five innings as FEM picked up a five spot in the bottom of the first inning and never looked back. Donaldson also had a pair of RBIs in that one too. Natalie Armstrong with two, and Kirk with a couple RBIs. Hayes with two RBIs. A couple of the leading hearts in this one. Althoff, she pitched four innings, giving up a couple of hits and six strikeouts. And FEM sweeping in the doubleheader there against the Tornadoes. Stride Valley winning its Mahame 8-3, Tolono over Mount Zion 8-7. Charleston winning its Paris 13-1, and Mattoon a victory over Olney 8-2. Cumberland victorious over Ocala Valley 17-5. Zarcola over Blue Ridge 3-2. Tuscola over Villa Grove. Newton picking up a win against Lawrenceville 2-0. Robinson shutting out Martinsville 10-0. Warrensburg Latham over Central A&M 7-6. Gillespie winning against North Mac 10-0. And Greenville also a winner against Ramsey 10-0 as well. Schedule for today in high school baseball, it's Altamont at Greenville, Father McGivney hosting St. Anthony, Brownstown at St. Elmo at Christ Our Rock Lutheran, North Clay at Count Eric Beecher City, South Central at Newton, Mahomet hosting Hayworth, Charleston at Casey, Cerro Gordo at Cumberland, Tri-County hosting Unity Christian, Heritage at Ocala Valley, Villa Grove at Argenta, Mount Carmel at Robinson, Olney hosting Lawrenceville, Marshall hosting OPH, Paris at Georgetown Ridge Farm, Centralia at Tuscola, Macon Meridian at Shelbyville, Vandalia at Litchfield, and in the softball side of things, it's Mahomet at Tri-Valley, Tolono Unity at Mount Zion, Paris hosting Charleston, and Olney at Mattoon, Cerro Gordo at Cumberland, Arcola at Urbana, Ocala Valley at Arthur, Argenta versus Villa Grove, Olney at Marshall, Mount Carmel at Robinson, Casey hosting at Danville, Duggar, Indiana at Lawrenceville, Oblong at Robinson, Central A&M at Tuscola, Macon Meridian at Shelbyville, Vandalia at Litchfield. Tennis action today is Mount Vernon at FEM, Topless hosting Robinson, Greenville at Newton, Mattoon at Champaign Central. Track and field side, we have the Apollo Conference meet in Mattoon today, and the Central Illinois Conference meet at Clinton will take place today as well. And I forgot to mention the results yesterday from the Little Illini Conference meet there. At least on the girls' side, it was a Robinson finishing in first place overall there, and Newton ended up taking second place, and Olney was third on the girls' side of things there for the LIC track meet yesterday. So wanted to pass that along as well. We have the entire schedule up on the website, femradio.com, for today, and also the results posted over there as well. We're continuing the conversation with more baseball and softball, and we'll continue that next, talking about the schedule for the postseason upcoming in a couple weeks as those brackets were revealed yesterday. So we'll dive into that coming up next here on the starting lineup.
The starting lineup from 98.9 The Game Studios. We'll be right back.
Imagine the possibilities with the Topless State Bank. This is Justin Naders. If you're buying a home, see us to get pre-qualified. When you're pre-qualified, the seller knows you mean business, and that can save you thousands. If you're building a new home, we'll help you get started with a construction loan customized just for you. Ask around. Talk to your friends. You'll see why so many homes start with a little help from Totopolis State Bank. And Totopolis, Sigel, and Effingham. Equal housing lender and member FDIC.
Passion. There's no doubt that having passion for what you do makes you better at it. And at Cromwell Media in Effingham, we have a lot of passion for what we do. We take a lot of pride in providing our community with entertainment, news, sports, and weather each day. And we are looking to add a passionate individual to our team. Yes, we are looking for someone to help our sales team, but it's more than that. We help our clients reach new customers each day by providing them with the ears and eyes that check out our content and finding the right spots for each of them. So you can become a consultant and a marketing specialist for those clients. Education, background, and experience are important, but we really want to know if you are ready to come to work at a place with pride in what we do and a passion to do it better each day. If so, you are who we are looking for. If you would like to be a part of our team, just reach out to us. All of our contact information is available at effinghamradio.com. We would love to add your passion to our team.
enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, if you're over 40 feeling like you're falling off in your workouts, career, maybe even in the bedroom, it could be lower testosterone. But you're not alone. In fact, superstar Hall of Famer Frank Thomas has a secret for you about how to get back your drive with Nugenix Total T.
I did notice after 40 that energy level had dropped dramatically. You want to feel like you've always felt. You want to go home with energy. You want to go to work with energy. And that's what I tell guys. It helps all facets of your life. Nugenix Total T is the real deal. I haven't felt this great in 15 years. And by the way, she'll like it too.
Text EDGE to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text EDGE to 321321. That's EDGE to 321321.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And now,
Travis Sparks with the Aurora Sports Center update. And I'm kind of doing this on the fly because Eric's script is not pulling up. But Eastern Illinois shortstop Trey Sweeney was named the Ohio Valley Conference Baseball Player of the Year.
The starting lineup.
Holy cow, what a terrible Sports Center read that was.
I don't blame you. I blame me.
On 98.9 The Game.
Eric Fry, Sports Center update. St. Louis Blues are adding another Swedish Hockey League player to their roster. The team signed forward Otto Stenberg to a three-year entry-level deal yesterday. Stenberg was drafted by St. Louis in the first round of the NHL draft last season. He had 3 goals and 3 assists in 31 games for Frölunda HC in the SHL last season. Missouri Tigers are bolstering their defense. Former Michigan linebacker Jeremy Beasley and former Georgia Tech defensive end Eddie Kelly both came into the Tigers football program yesterday. Beasley did not appear in a game with the Wolverines last season, while Kelly recorded 37 tackles and half a sack with the Yellow Jackets in 2023. The Chicago Bears are moving on from their punter. The team waived Trenton Gill yesterday. Chicago used a fourth-round pick in last week's NFL draft to grab Iowa punter Corey Taylor, rendering Gill redundant. The 25-year-old spent the last 2 seasons with the Bears, averaging 46.1 yards per punt on 67 kicks last season. Miami Dolphins owner Steven Ross has turned down a $10 billion offer for the Dolphins, Hard Rock Stadium, and the Miami Grand Prix Formula One race. The USA Today reports that Ross and billionaire Ken Griffin were engaged in talks but could not come to an agreement on the deal. According to the report, Ross wants to keep the Dolphins, the stadium, and the race in his family. Miami Grand Prix is on Sunday.
Welcome back into the starting lineup here on 98.9. Travis Sparks here, Eric Fry over there taking care of the SportsCenter reads today. All right, let's keep with the baseball and softball theme, and let's check in on the postseason as the brackets and schedule was revealed there yesterday, at least for 1A and 2A. We'll get to the Apollo Conference teams next week when we know that schedule, when those are released. Let's take a look at it. It's a lot of NTC teams here in part of this subsectional, part of the South Central sectional. Start there in North Clay as they're hosting a regional. It'll start with Weber against Dietrich, the 9-8 Maroons pull down the 8 seed, and that'll start on Monday, May 13th. Then the winner of that game will take on the 2 seed Altamont on Wednesday, May 15th. And then on a Thursday, it'll be May 16th. It'll be in North Clay going up against the 7 seed at Brownstown St. Elmo. And that will be the championship conclude on Saturday, May 18th, with the winner of those games. The KZ Westfield Regional sees the Windsor's Two Straws pull down the 2 seed. They'll wait the winner of the first game against Tri-County and CHBC, the 10-7. And KZ will match up against Neoga, the 3-6. And in that matchup in the Edwards County Regional, it's number one overall seed Edwards County. And they'll take on the winner of the 10 seed Wayne City against the 6 seed Red Hill. And then also the second game of that day will be the 4 seed South Central matching up with the 5 seed Sisney. In the Central A&M Regional, the number one overall seed Ocot Valley will take on the winner of Springfield Lutheran and Central A&M, the 9-8. And then Ramsey and Pawnee will take on the fourth seed Nokomis in the regional semis. And then the championship will conclude there on May 18th. And that all feeds into the South Central sectional. The winner of the Edwards County regional will take on the winner of the Casey regional. And a Central A&M regional winner will take on a North Clay regional winner. And this all feeds, of course, into the Carbondale super sectional, all going down on Monday, May 27th. They're in Carbondale, and they'll be matched up with the winner of the Goreville sectional winner. Yeah, some other teams here upper at the top part of this size in the Decatur St. Theresa regional have a couple of LPC teams there. Cerro Gordo against Decatur Unity Christian, and the winner of that one will take on the number one seed in that region, Mount Pulaski. Argenta will take on the host, Decatur St. Theresa. In that one, the Arcola Regional, the Arcola pulled down the two seed. They'll take on the winner of Georgetown Ridge Farm in Tuscola. And Heritage against Salt Fork will take on Villa Grove in the regional semifinal there. And that'll all feed into the Arcola Sectional, which the Super Sectional will take place in Bloomington on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan. They're on the 1A side of things. Over in a 2A, the Itztopolis Regional. Itztopolis pulled down the 2 seed, and they'll take on the winner of the 10 seed of Cumberland and the 9 seed of Vandalia. And then the second game of that regional will be the 3 seed Robinson going against the 6 seed of Flora. In the Marshall Regional, that's where we see a St. Anthony, but they pulled down the number 1 overall seed there. St. Anthony will take on the winner of the 8 seed Marshall and the 7 seed Paris. The 4 seed Newton will take on the winner of the OPH game, the 11 seed, against the 5 seed Lawrenceville in that regional championship on Saturday, May 18th in that one. And we also have the Topolis Regional feed into the Greenville Sectional. Topolis Regional winner will take on the winner of the Columbia Regional, and the Marshall Regional will take on the winner of the Carlisle Regional, and this all funnels into the Carbondale Super Sectional as well down in there in 2A. On the other side of that same bracket, if you will, is the Mount Carmel Regional. Mount Carmel pulled down to the 2 seed there. They'll take on the winner of El Dorado and McLeansboro Hamilton County, and Carmine White County will take on a Fairfield in that regional there. And if you scroll up here at the top, we do have a lot of South Central Conference teams and a few other teams there as well that a lot of our area teams take on there. The Gillespie Regional, Gillespie pulled down the overall seed there. They're the 2 seed. They'll take on the winner of Carlinville and Hillsboro. And Litchfield will take on the 6 seed of Pena, basically South Central Regional.
Yes.
Man, everybody there. The North Mac Regional, it'll be a Sullivan opening up with a 7 seed of North Mac and a Macon Meridian taking on the 5 seed of Shelbyville. Piasol's the number 1 overall seed there. They'll take on the winner of that Sullivan and a North Mac game. And the winner of Macon and Shelbyville will take on the 4 seed Auburn there. And that all feeds into the Pleasant Plains sectional. North Mac Regional champion will take on the winner of the Pittsfield Regional. And the New Berlin regional champion will take on the winner of that Gillespie regional. And that all feeds into the Springfield super sectional played on the campus of Lincoln Land Community College on Monday, May 27th there. So hopefully I didn't miss any teams there.
The only one I wanted to point out, Travis, is my Byron Tigers, 1 seed.
Oh, of course.
Be Byron. On the lookout for them.
Where are they in? 2A? 1A?
2A. 2A.
2A.
1 seed. They are in the Port Byron Regional, which leads into the Byron Sectional. So.
Well, Byron has been pretty successful.
Yeah, they do pretty good. Not to be confused with Port Byron. There is two different they're two different places. So.
Confusing.
It is very confusing.
Team that just Altamont just faced, and a team that will take on St. Anthony today. Father McGivney pulled down the number 1 seed in the Carrollton Regional, which Father McGivney will be hosting their own sectional, and that all feeds into the Lincoln Land Community College Super Sectional there in 1A. as well. It's another team to keep an eye out on. On the softball side of things, we have start out with the KZ Regional. That's where number one overall seed is. The KZ will take on the winner of the Neoga and CHBC matchup. And Central A&M, the fourth seed, will take on the seventh seed, Martinsville. South Central Regional, the number one overall seed there, South Central, will take on the winner of St. Elmo, Brownstown, and Weber. And then Red Hill, the fourth seed, will take on the sixth seed, North Clay. And that one, Edwards County Regional, it's Edwards County against the winner of Sisney and Wayne City. And it's Odin versus Grayville. In that matchup, the Hudsonville Regional sees Altamont take on the winner of Oblong and Hudsonville. And then the three seed Windsor Two Straws will take on the five seed Dietrich. And that all feeds into the Altamont sectional. Winner of the KZ Regional will take on the winner of the Edwards County Regional on Tuesday, May 21st. And the winner of the South Central Regional will take on the winner of the Hudsonville Regional. And that all goes into the Johnson City Super Sectional. And that one, scroll up there in the Villa Grove Regional, we see Villa Grove taking on the winner of Heritage and Armstrong. Gibson City, Melvin Shipley against Tri-County. Argenta Regional sees the number one overall seed there. Argenta taking on the winner of Decatur St. Teresa and Farmer City Blue Ridge. And Hayworth and Fisher will also be matching up in a semifinal matchup in that one. And the Arcola Regional sees Arcola versus Tuscola in that opening round. So Cola Wars in the postseason.
Yep.
Leroy against Ocala Valley.
At Arcola, other too.
Semifinal. That's all right. And the Leroy sectionals where this is all going down and feeding into Argenta Regional Champion will take on the winner of the Villa Grove Regional Champion and the Georgetown Ridge Farm Regional against the Arcola Regional Champion. And that will all feed into the Illinois Wesleyan Super Sectional in Bloomington there. Over in 2A, that's where you see St. Anthony, and they pulled down the top seed, and they're going to be hosting their own regional. They'll take on the winner of the opening matchup between the 11th seed Shelbyville and the 10th seed Sullivan. 12th seed Cerro Gordo will be matching up with the 8th seed Topolis, and they'll take on the winner of that one. Will take on the 4th seed Pena. And then we also have, you know, down there in the St. Joe Ogden regional, Cumberland pulled down the 8th seed. Only traveling to Arthur, though, in the opening round. And the seventh seed, a la there. The winner of that one will take on the winner. Will take on the two seed at St. Joe Ogden. And the three seed, Tolona Uni. And the five seed, Monticello. We matching up in that other regional there. Westville Regional, it's the number one overall seed there. Westville against 50 and Oakwood. Four seed, Marshall against the six seed, Paris. In that one, and we also have Clinton there at the Normal University Regional. We'll take on Downs Tri-Valley. Macon Meridian will take on the winner of Moreau Forsyth and Bloomington Central Catholic. The winner of that Clinton Downs Tri-Valley will take on a three seed at Normal University. This all feeds into the Monticello Sectional. St. Anthony Regional winner will take on the winner of the St. Joe Ogden Regional Champion. Westville Regional Champion against Normal University Regional Champion. And this all feeds into the Decatur Super Sectional played at Milliken there for the softball side of things. And you scroll up to the South Central teams with Gillespie, the number one overall seed in their own regional, take on the winner of all Marquette and Piasol. Roxana, the fourth seed against the sixth seed Staunton. And that one, Vandalia Regional, two seed Carlisle will take on the winner of the 10th seed Vandalia and 9th seed Litchfield. Breeze Martyr Day, the three seed against the six seed Hillsborough. The other matchup in that one, the Newton Regional. Newton's the number one overall seed there. They'll take on the winner of the 8th seed Greenville and the 7th seed Lawrenceville. 4th seed Flora against the 5th seed Robinson. And this all feeds into the Greenville sectional. Winner of the Newton Regional Champion take on Trent Wesleyan Regional winner. Gillespie Regional winner against the Vandalia Regional winner. And this all feeds into the Johnson City Super Sectional. And all these teams are looking to go to the state tournament, all occurring on May 31st and June 1st. And that'll be in Peoria at the Louisville Slugger Complex.
Yeah, just wanted to highlight just two more South Central teams that kind of snuck in. They're in the Pleasant Plains Regional there. The 8 seed North Mac takes on the 7 seed Pittsfield. The winner of that will take on the 1 seed Auburn. And the 4 seed Carlinville will take on the 5 seed, winner of the 5 seed Pleasant Plains and New Berlin. That all feeds into what would be the Williamsville sectional there. They'll take on the winner of the Tremont Regional.
And then everything's leading for baseball as well. May 31st and June 1st, the conclusion of that up in Peoria, Dozier Park there. So, again, we'll be taking a look at a 3A when those are revealed with the Apollo Conference teams in that on next week's show. But for right now, we'll have the schedule up on the website here shortly in the next coming days for that to follow along with all that. But for right now, we'll keep with the baseball theme, but we'll go to the pros, we'll go to the big show, and it's Major League Baseball to close out the show today.
The starting lineup from 98.9 The Game Studios. We'll be right back.
Hey, pet parents, as the seasons change, so do the risks of our furry friends.
Protect your pets from fleas and ticks. These little pests can cause big problems.
Use vet-recommended preventative treatments. It's an easy step that keeps your pet happy and healthy.
Regular checks and proper prevention, that's the key to the pest-free, joyful pet.
Don't wait. Shield your pets today for a flea and tick-free tomorrow.
You might watch your bottom line shrink if you don't account for burglaries, on-site accidents, and other unpredictable misfortunes at your business. Pekin Insurance offers comprehensive business coverage that lets you focus on what's important: employees, profits, and peace of mind. Ask your local Pekin Insurance agent about commercial insurance products or learn more at PekinInsurance.com. In Effingham, contact Tingley Insurance at 217-342-3637, and we'll go beyond the expected for you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Counseling resources available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Aurora. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, can I afford my son's travel hockey team? What if my daughter doesn't get that soccer scholarship? Will I be able to enjoy golf in retirement? At Empower, we know these questions can be stressful. We're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Start today at empower.com.
And now, the starting lineup.
Air Tri Sports Center update. Chicago Fire FC forward Ignacio Elizondo is the MLS Player of the Week. The award follows his breakout performance against Atlanta United FC on July 3rd when he tallied two goals and an assist, leading the Fire to a 3-0 win.
On 98.9 The Game.
Welcome back in to the starting lineup. We're on 98.9. Here on 98.9, we'll just say a smidge a bit longer. Closing out with some more baseball talk. We're closing out with the major leagues. Yesterday we were kicked off because of the Cardinals. Really glad we got a short show yesterday. Tigers won the series 4-1 over the Cardinals. Of course, we would only score one run.
Right. That's, I mean, what else did you want, Travis?
Well, all I know, according to Ollie Marmol, Miles Michaelis had a good outing. He really did.
Yep.
Six hits, three earned runs, four strikeouts. Give up that home run, and I don't even know what you would call that sort of pitch. He gave up that dinger on. But congratulations. You lost the series to the Tigers, even though they have been doing well recently. They're not like another team in the division there. But that we'll see coming up on the weekend. Boy, if you love offense, you're not going to want to go to the ballpark this weekend with the White Sox and Cardinals. Speaking of the White Sox, they lost again, and the Twins won again. So that makes it 10 in a row now for Minnesota, hottest team in baseball, to close out the month of April and start May 10-5 and won over the White Sox. And the White Sox also slugged a couple home runs. And that means the Cardinals now are dead last in home runs.
I was going to say that.
In the major leagues now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Two worst home run offenses.
That's right.
This weekend in St. Louis. And this really should have been first things first, but Cubs won last night.
Yep.
1-0 against the Mets.
Yep.
You feel good about that win last night, Eric?
I do.
I mean, I don't stick up for Pete Alonso very much, but, I mean, Mets lost, and they got cheated out of the game-tying run there.
You mean future Cub Pete Alonso?
You can think that. But the Mets are 500, so
I don't think they're going to get rid of him. Travis, is that Shota Imaga, again, 7 innings, 3 hits, 7 Ks, 5-0 on the season, .78 ERA, Rookie of the Year, and Cy Young. Locked it up.
The young guys could just get him a couple of runs.
He doesn't need them.
Easily.
He doesn't need them.
He could have easily won this. Didn't need a controversial call.
Yeah. A couple more runs would be nice, but when Shota's out there, the Cubs know they need a run. That's it, the way he's pitching lately.
That's all they got.
Hey, I'll take it, man. If that was our one offseason signing, it is looking really good right now.
A plus for sure.
I'll take it.
He looked great again last night.
Travis, he's given up 5 runs all season.
Yeah.
34 innings pitched, 5 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Only 22 hits.
.78 ERA.
Yep.
It's crazy.
And a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 35-4.
Wow.
That's really good.
Yeah.
At this rate, he's projected to give up 16 earned runs on the season.
On the season.
Pitch 178 innings.
Wow. You do have one more game with the Mets today. Yes. Coming up here shortly. Brown.
Not as confident about this one.
Brown on the mound for the Cubbies against.
He hasn't looked good.
Adrian House. I mean, 8.37 ERA. So you got a chance.
Talking about offense.
Yeah. I mean, Rockies and Marlins are already in the third inning, and there's already been a combined 5 runs scored. So hopefully you didn't take the under in that one. I mean, it's two of the worst teams in baseball. Marlins got the win last night, though, against the Rockies, 4-1. Yankees got the shutout victory against the O's, 2-0. Yujiel Cabrera's home run got stuck in the foul pole there. Braves got the win over the Mariners, 5-2. Phillies, 2-1 over the Angels. The A's get the shutout against the Pirates, 4-0. Royals, 6-1 over the Blue Jays. Milwaukee, 7-1 over the Rays. Elsewhere, the Red Sox, 6-2 over the Giants. Nationals won 1-0 against the Rangers. In 10 innings, the Guardians win against the Astros, 3-2. And the Dodgers get a shutout. No B's here, and it affected Jordan Montgomery quite a bit, as he did not look good after his start got pushed back due to that B delay yesterday. Dodgers won the game 8-0 in that one. And let's see, Yankees and O's closing up their series here this afternoon. Giants, Red Sox as well. Nationals, Rangers. And then Guardians and Astros later on this evening there for the MLB action today. So we might save the standings and take a look at that here at some point in the next couple of days after basically 1 month of the season has concluded there. But we'll just see whatever we can get to here in the podcast. And that's coming up here shortly. So make sure you tune in to that wherever you find your favorite pods. But coming up next here on ESPN Radio is Carlin versus Joe, followed by Freddie and Harry. So until tomorrow, we'll talk to you on the pod.
Thanks for listening to the Starting Lineup on 98.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Welcome to overtime of the starting lineup. Got a few things to clean up from the Trashel show.
Yep.
Got some Stanley Cup playoffs wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. Also got some football talk.
Yep.
As well, some NFL.
And
Eric wanted to get to. And college football.
Yes.
Some people, some coaches make some headlines.
Yes.
And we'll see whatever else we can come up with.
I got some virtual news.
Virtual news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that as well.
Is there anything on sports that anyone wanted to get
Yeah,
to?
First of all, Chicago Bulls' Alex Caruso won the NBA's Hustle Award.
Oh. So
Alex Caruso showing that hustle.
Congratulations.
Yes. Speaking of awards, NHL has announced the finalists for the Norris Trophy. That is Quinn Hughes of the Canucks, Roman Josi of the Preds, and Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche are the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. Several players have been punished by the MLB for their roles in a benches-clearing brawl. The league announced on Wednesday that Brewers starting pitcher Freddie Peralta was given a 5-game suspension for intentionally throwing at Rays outfielder Jose Siri in the sixth inning of Milwaukee's win over Tampa on Tuesday. Incident led to Siri and reliever Abner Oubre exchanging words in the eighth, which evolved into punches being thrown, benches clearing. Oubre got 6 games, Siri got 2, and Brewers' new manager Pat Murphy got 2 games as well.
Hmm.
Now, Travis, I hope this goes through, all right?
Uh-huh.
So this is a little bit of the college football talk.
Uh-huh.
So we've talked about revenue sharing with college athletes and how that's gaining momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the leaders of the bowl games are hoping for a collective bargaining agreement with the players to help lower the number of opt-outs.
Mm-hmm.
So the executive director of bowl season, Nick, which I didn't know was a thing, the executive director of bowl season.
No.
It's like, I'm what the Santa for bowl season.
What a title. Like,
yes. Nick Carapelli said that he believes NIL collectives are destined to be brought in-house, and there have been discussions about contracts in exchange for NIL payments. Essentially, if a player signs a contract, receives compensation, then they are obligated to play 12 regular season games and a bowl game, or a bowl game and the playoffs. So, I like that.
Yeah.
If they're going to get compensated, if we're going to do everything like that, then they should be required to play in a bowl game.
Yeah. Right.
No more of this opting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not very
fun. Because then you're just stealing the, you know, you're just taking the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. There's nothing that says, you know, you have to have, you know, right now, there's nothing that says you have to play this many games in order to get this money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you get the NIL money. And yep. Then if, you know,
right.
I don't want to play, I'm not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that happens too often nowadays mm-hmm. with the opting out of the bowl games.
Yep, and it would get a little bit of the prestige back into the bowls
mm-hmm.
to have some of the major players be there.
Yeah.
So. I'm a fan of that. Let's go virtual, Travis. Did you see the news? We haven't talked about College Football 25. They did announce some news.
Okay.
Two things. The cover athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be current.
Yeah, going to be current players and regional-based.
Regional-based, but... regional based, I believe, via conference.
Conferences, right.
Yeah. So, like, our area would probably get the Big Ten representative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of current players being on the cover because it at least guarantees me that that player is going to be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like it making it regional because this is, you know, college football more than any other sport, I feel, is a region-based sport.
Definitely.
So, I'm a fan of that. The other thing, there's going to be various announcers.
I did see something about that.
So there's a lot of announcers that are going to be in, and who you get on the game is going to depend on the magnitude of the matchup, which I love that idea. We already know a lot of the ESPN personalities are involved. There's also been rumors floated out that Fox is going to be involved as well. And so depending on if you are a Big Ten school, for example, you would get the Fox pregame show with the Fox announcers, which I'm all for immersion. That is as much immersion in a game you can have.
Sure.
Because, for example, I play NCAA 13 football right now on my 360. Me as Illinois, I should not be having ESPN graphics. Because ESPN doesn't do Big Ten games.
Right.
And with so much talk about, you know, the network deals that these colleges are making and the conferences are making to broadcast their games and the rights fees and everything like that, I would love it if we got multiple networks involved in this.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
And the people from EA Sports are saying, we're having announcers knock down our door to be in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the announcers grew up playing these. And now it's a relaunch. They want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Now, some of them have been there forever. Kirk Herbstreit and stuff like that. But I think this is great. I want, you know, if I'm 1-10 on the season, I want the D squad. I don't want the A team there announcing my game because the A team wouldn't be there if we were a 1-win team.
You mean they wouldn't give Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit the job?
No. Or if I'm SIU or NIU, because we know NIU will be in the game, Northern, because they're an FBS school.
Yeah.
You're not going to have Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit showing up to a game. Not unless you are undefeated on the season going into the last week of the year. Then maybe, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Howard isn't going to do pregame for you.
It's kind of cool to hear those guys do your games that wouldn't normally be there.
It depends on what you're wanting. If you are wanting
this is a video game after all.
Yes. But if you're wanting an arcade experience, then absolutely. If you're wanting it to be more of a real-world simulation-based, then it shouldn't be that. And the other thing, Travis, that it makes me a little bit excited, first of all, we are in the second day of May. Where is my information? You said in that trailer, more information will be coming in May. It is May 2nd. I would like some information.
There's only 2 days.
Don't care. I want to know. I'm excited about this because just by this, Travis, of the cover athletes and the announcers, and even if Fox isn't involved, okay? Let's say Fox isn't even involved. And it's just ESPN, but they have the different announcers. Which they already have different announcers. Just those two things are putting in more effort than they've put in Madden.
Yeah.
And that gets me excited because that was the one, me personally, I was worried about. Is this going to be Madden with a college football skin on it?
Right.
Now, we still don't know about gameplay. We still have yet to see it.
Yeah, I know. That's
that has me a little worried.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're taking the care of doing different announce teams and doing different covers to make it more regional and make it more of a college experience.
Right.
That gets me excited.
Right. Yeah, just kind of with the difference, you know, announcers is cool, and Chris Fowler has been on social media kind of revealing some behind the scenes of him recording some stuff and just all the work that gets put in. Obviously, I know voice acting, it's put into that every game, but it seems like they are going full on with the commentary for his part.
And what I find funny, Travis, is even, you know, people look back at NCAA football 14 and even 13 and to a lesser extent 12. Those are like the golden years. Those are some of the best college football games there's ever been, if you ask some people, because they were some of the last ones.
I was going to say, was 14 really good, or was it just because that was the last one?
I think 13 is better than 14. That's my opinion. But again, it depends on what kind of gameplay you're wanting. 13 is more difficult than 14. So that's why I like it a little more. But even let's say 10. Let's say 10 to 14. Those college games were better than Madden. Those college games were better than those year Madden games. They've always taken a sense of pride, EA has, in the college games.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because, like you and me have talked about sometimes, you may not be a fan of every NFL team, But you know somebody who went to a college, or you went to a college, and so you have a little bit of pride in that school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if that makes it more relatable.
Yeah, I think so.
Because even if, let's say, I'm a video game engineer and I'm making this game and I went to Stanford, my team's in the game. My stadium, maybe I sat in, is in this game. I want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really hoping that they take care of this and put the pride and passion in it to make it a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing I don't want, Travis, we already know it's going to make money. There is no doubt they're going to make a boatload of money off this game. Because so many people are going to go out and buy it.
Yeah.
What I don't want is, when is it releasing? Like July?
That's the thing. We don't know.
It said this year. It
said July.
Okay. Let's say end of July. I don't want to see it in the bargain bin for Christmas. Because everyone went out and bought it, and everyone immediately bought it and went, you know, the older games are better.
All right.
That's not what we want. This needs to be a step up from what we had. But us fans also need to realize this is year one.
Yeah.
This is a building block. It's not going to be what it was, because those games have been around for years, and they've had a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see gameplay before I get super pumped.
Exactly.
Because if they're using the Madden engine, Travis, I red flags everywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, even that is red flags. Supposedly, July is our release date, and we haven't really seen anything gameplay-wise or really anything solid.
We've seen that trailer where they were showing stuff.
Exactly. Still being designed.
But you can put all that together. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see gameplay.
Why so much secrecy?
Yeah.
EA Sports, why so much secrecy?
I want to see gameplay, and Travis, I want to see an actual gameplay trailer, not a movie trailer.
I mean, everybody does that, though.
I know, but how many times have we seen a game have a trailer, and then when the game actually comes out, it looks nothing like that trailer because they were able to produce it however they wanted it to?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see footage of Joe Schmo playing this game.
Hmm.
So that we know what it's going to look like.
I'm trying to remember. I know that you got those games recently, the ones that you play.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of the last one that I actually own or played. I mean, I know for sure. I don't remember 13. I don't remember ever playing 13. I mean, I almost want to say, looking at the covers here, the last one is Mark Ingram there in NCAA Football 12. I want to say I own that. I know I own 09, but surely I own a more recent college football game than 2009.
See, I was always the one who would get the previous year's game when the new year came out, because the previous one would be cheaper.
Yeah.
So I had the Mark Ingram one. And I know I had the Tim Tebow one. And I know I had the Boise State one.
Yeah, I know I had that one too.
I don't think I had 13 till this year.
Right.
And the dynasty mode is so deep. It's so good. So
that's part of what college football makes it. It's so deep.
And I'm still finding out new stuff.
Jared Zebranski.
Yeah.
For Boise State. Yeah. Flamed out in the league.
Yep. All right.
Oh, wait, the CFL.
Oh,
that's where he's at.
There you go. Did you want to talk about someone who may be in the game, Travis?
Well, who is that?
That would be the head coach of Colorado.
Prime? Coach Prime?
Yeah.
Coach Sanders?
Yeah.
And Shador Sanders.
Yep.
Welcome to 2024, where college coaches make headlines on X and Twitter, going after former players and going after, I guess, coming to the defense of his son, Shador Sanders.
Yep.
You know, last year we got tired of seeing Colorado every week popping up on national media. I wanted to like Coach Prime and Coach Sanders, but the longer this goes on, man, just this guy. What a joke he is.
Yep.
I know, Scott Van Pelt, that's a perfect picture. Is that Coach Prime with a little kid on a computer with a sack with a face drawn on it?
Yep.
That's Coach Sanders.
Yep.
Typing away on X. They got their share on social media yesterday.
I can't wait, Travis. And the final line
here. He's making
here,
enemies about everybody.
The final line of this ESPN story where Deion, quote, he will be a top five pick talking about his son. Where your son going? LOL. I got time today. LOL. I cannot wait until his son is a top five pick and goes down as one of the biggest draft busts of all time. Because it's going to happen.
And I know he said he's not going to, but sure gets drafted and could Coach Prime follow him. Or even just follow him to the league. Maybe not even with each other, but
Travis,
that's what everyone's
kind
of expecting.
Let me ask you this. Okay? And this is in all honesty. What has he done to deserve an NFL job?
His name. Just his name.
Okay. His name's not going to recruit him people in the NFL. People in the NFL want to win championships. He hasn't won at a college level.
I mean, he doesn't have to be a head coach. He can be a position coach.
He won't stay quiet enough to be a position coach.
Or just an assistant or offensive coordinator or whatever.
I wouldn't want him anywhere near my team.
It would be a distraction.
It would be such a distraction because he can't stay quiet. On the sidelines, on social media.
There's an owner, though, in Dallas that can't stay quiet either.
Well, he's the owner. He can decide to do that.
Gladly welcome Coach Prime back.
I don't even think Jerry Jones would go that far.
Maybe. I don't know how good the relationship is.
He hasn't won at a competitive place.
I know. I mean, yeah, he was fairly successful at his previous stop.
At Jacksonville State. Again, the competition there and the Big 12 are not the same. And the NFL is even more than the Big 12.
Right.
So you can't win at the Big 12 level. No way you're going to the NFL.
Right.
And whatever franchise would hire him at the NFL level is simply doing it to try and get a pop.
Right.
It would not work for a season. I don't care if he would be the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the wide receiver coach, the defensive back coach, the special teams coordinator, the guy who gets the water bottles. It wouldn't work for a season because he has to be the focal point.
Right.
But he cannot take any blame or criticism.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
He
is trying so hard, Travis, to be Urban Meyer and to be Nick Saban and run things like a dictator. And the reason why those guys could do it is because they had the respect because they won.
Yeah.
He wants to do it without earning the respect and without winning.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to go, I'm Deion Sanders, so you should follow me and you should listen to me.
Well, yeah, and apparently he's just on social media recruiting more than anything. He can't seem to leave Colorado or actually even go to a recruit's house.
No.
So
if someone doesn't send him film, he's never going to see a kid.
Right. Exactly. So at least they have the decency to go.
That's not how that works.
No.
To be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works in the NFL. That's because you're not recruiting people to come to you.
Right, so that's another reason why I go to the NFL. Basically, he can do what he does now, but...
But the first time a quarterback makes a mistake, he's going to throw him under the bus.
Sure.
So, Anyways.
Colorado went 4-8, by the way.
Yeah.
Last year.
Four games under 500.
And the Pac-12, as we know it, is no more, and Colorado already going to join up with the Big 12.
Where
they look Big 12.
Be even more outgunned.
16 teams involved there.
Even more outgunned. Last thing for football.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers want Justin Fields to be a kick returner. All right. That's all.
A kick returner?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's from running back Jalen Warren there for the Steelers.
Floated as Steelers returner.
So I think it's pretty good. As soon as you touch the ball, that's when everything starts to happen. Our special teams coordinator was talking about Justin Fields being back there. We're like, hold up, hold up. We looked at him like, Justin Fields is about to be back there? I don't know. I think it's cool.
Cool. It's not a good thing if your quarterback is back there.
But again, if he's not playing quarterback, Travis.
Yeah.
He's fast. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And he may be up for it because, again, first of all, you have the new rules with the kickoffs where no one can move until the returner touches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already got a 15-yard head start.
Yeah.
And thing two, he has to go into the season, he being Justin Fields, in thinking he is auditioning for any other team.
Mm-hmm.
So why not show them, look how versatile I am. Look what I can do.
Yeah, and willingness to...
And willingness to do it.
Go wherever the
team
needs me.
As opposed to just going, no, I'm a quarterback. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit behind Russell Wilson all season.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps his name out there. If he's not going to be QB1 and start in every game, it keeps his name out there. At the very least.
Yeah, it does.
I just want to see a quarterback return some kicks. That's all I want.
I just hope he can catch.
Yep. So, all right, that's all I had besides the Stay in Sports History. I know you want to talk hockey.
Yeah, I just wanted to clean up some hockey. One series came to a close there, and that was Edmonton. They closed it out against the Kings. They won a 4-3 over LA. So Edmonton on to the next round, and they won that series 4-1. Drysdale had a couple of goals to lead Edmonton to the W. And the Stars now are up on the defending Stanley Cup champions as they won the game 3-2, and they're up in their series 3-2 last night. And the only game that's on tap for tonight is a game 6 with the Bruins matching up with the Maple Leafs. They're in a Toronto, Boston up 3-2, and Toronto is yet again going to be without the services of Austin Matthews as he's been ruled out for a game 6. He missed a little bit of Game 4 and the entire third period, to be exact, in Game 4, and missed the entirety of the Game 5 with what the team is calling a lingering illness. So Austin Matthews out. So not good when face your franchise isn't going to be able to go.
Nope, not
on the
good.
Brink of elimination. 7 o'clock, TBS. In Toronto tonight, Scotiabank Arena.
Looking forward to it. Travis will have a recap tomorrow.
And if the Maple Leafs can win, then they'll go to Game 7 on Saturday back in Boston. So, the lone hockey game tonight. Got all sorts of important games on the NBA and the NHL tonight. Stanley Cup. All right, so let's get to that, this day in sports history.
All right, on this day, Travis, 1939, after playing on April 30th and a team day off on May 1st, Lou Gehrig takes himself out of the Yankees lineup, ending his consecutive game played streak at 2,130. He would never play another MLB game.
Wow.
And just taking a day off, and it's your last day ever.
Yeah.
Crazy. On this day in 2002, Brett Boone and Mike Cameron hit back-to-back home runs in the first inning, twice in the Mariners' 15-4 win over the White Sox, becoming the first teammates to hit consecutive homers twice in one inning. Cameron hit 4 home runs in the game, becoming the first Mariners player to ever accomplish the feat.
Wow.
Yep. That sounds like a score for this year's White Sox team.
Yeah, for sure.
On this date in 2006, Rajah Bell clotheslined Kobe Bryant in the fourth quarter of the Game 5 of the Suns-Lakers first-round series. On this date in 2014, Dame Lillard hit a buzzer beater to eliminate the Rockets from the playoffs. It's not his famous one, I don't think. The one he did up in Portland where he waved goodbye.
I don't know which one it was, but... I know that is shown in highlight tapes.
Yep. On this day in 2015, a hobbled Chris Paul's game-winning shot with 1 second remaining pushed the Clippers past the Spurs. At the time, no other player had made a Game 7 series-winning field goal with as little as 1 second remaining on the clock. Of course, Kawhi Leonard hit a buzzer beater to win Game 7, so this no longer stands as a record. Travis, on this day in 2015...
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather defeated Manny Pacquiao in a unanimous decision, a world welterweight unification fight shattering all financial records for a boxing match. Remember that? Remember all the hype around Mayweather versus Pacquiao?
Yeah. A lot of hype.
Not as much hype as Mayweather and Connor.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype behind that.
At least the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight was an actual fight.
Between boxers.
Yep. And finally, Travis, on this day in 2016, after 132 years as a club, Leicester City clinched the English Premier League to claim their first ever top-flight title. After finishing 14th the previous season, Leicester City started the 2015-16 campaign at 5,000-1 odds to win the title, according to English sportsbook William Hill. What followed resulted in one of, if not the most stunning underdog victory in memory. Here are a few other bets you could have placed, by the way, at 5,000-1 in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
15 seed Cal State Bakersfield to win the NCAA basketball tournament. They lost in the first round, by the way. 16-year-old amateur Paul Chaplet to win the Masters. He shot 21 over in the first two rounds and missed the cut. Although this year, he probably would have finished close to Tiger. The Minnesota Timberwolves with their 14-35 record to win the NBA title in February. They missed the playoffs by 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, this is my favorite one. You would have the same odds that Elvis Presley would be found alive.
Wow.
As Leicester City winning the championship.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Pretty good odds if they could find him.
He's hiding.
Somewhere.
He's hiding somewhere around there.
It's look. Not in plain sight. Not in Graceland.
As I said, Elvis didn't die. He just went home.
He went home. I've heard the first part of he didn't die, but never heard that. Yep. He went home.
He just went home. Just depends on where your home is.
I guess so. Where you place your...
Him and Amelia Earhart chilling on a beach somewhere.
I mean, with all the conspiracy theories.
Yep.
Jimmy Hoffa, too.
Yep, they're all just hanging around.
Tupac,
yep.
So
there you go. And that is that's this day in sports history.
Alrighty, so I think that will do it for today's show then. We'll be back tomorrow. Get you set for the weekend. And so until then, we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. We're out. Peace.